Testing 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. This is Dr. Donald L. Carlin interviewing Dr. Camillo V. Bologna. The date is February 17th, 1988. When do you want to start?
Just flick the button down. Okay, I was born in Manhattan, New York City, in a part of the city known to this day as Little Italy. This was a place my parents migrated to from Italy, and where they lived for, I believe, the first 8 years of their life in this country. I have an older brother and an older sister. I've been made to feel self-conscious about saying that my parents were peasants from Italy, but in thinking about this matter, I find that that is a source of pride, actually, because of the extent to which my parents rose above their former estate in life to become highly successful American citizens. They loved this country perhaps more than we who were born here. I received all my primary education in New York City. This was not a pleasant experience. To this very day, I remember a very rainy, misty, foggy day. I was sloshing around in some kind of heavy footwear. I was so young, I can barely remember. And the door to the school seemed so immense. It was a big, heavy metal door that I could just barely open. And I remember the heavy heart with which I walked into those dark, dingy hallways of the old type New York City school. As a matter of fact, that was PS number 93. All in all, my schooling was not a pleasant experience for me. It always represented a great deal of responsibility and hard work. By the time I was ready for high school, my family had moved to Garfield, New Jersey, where we stayed for approximately 16 years. I completed my high school education and went on to Columbia College. I commuted from Garfield, New Jersey. It took me an hour and a half each way. I spent 3 hours a day chasing trains, buses, and subways. I did an awful lot of my homework on trains. It was very late in my schooling that I learned how to study properly. I used to read my assignments and feel that having read them, I had done my homework, even though I had never so much as absorbed half of what I had read. I must have been halfway through med school before I really learned how to study efficiently. I went to med school in Brooklyn, Long Island College of Medicine, which 1 year after my graduation was changed to State University of New York downstate. My 4 years in med school were another long black corridor of torture. This is a feeling that I have found was shared by many other of my colleagues. Following my 4 years in med school, I took on an internship, a rotating internship in Orange, New Jersey. But I'm a little ahead of my story. As a fourth-year medical student, I met Jane in the delivery room where I was delivering my very first baby, made a terrible botch of it. And I got to meet Jane because she tried to encourage me when I was all flustered, being yelled at by the chief resident. And her voice sounded like that of an angel in my right ear. I'll never forget that. Well, she claims that we met in the delivery room and she never quite got out of it again. After having met me, we had 6 children, 3 boys, 3 girls, in alternate succession, something of which I am very proud and can truly take credit for. I did go by the technicality of when Jane and I married. Here we have 6 kids already. We were married January 7th of 1945, in the early few months of my internship. And Jane struggled along with me through multiple residencies, 1 in medicine and 2 in pathology. I started my medical career believing that I wanted to be an internist. I used to believe that the internist was the doctor's doctor, simply because all intelligent medicine proceeds from the correct diagnosis, and internists make most of the diagnoses. The specialty I chose was fine. The place where I practiced it wasn't. Brooklyn is no place for a guy like me, basically a small town person. I practiced internal medicine for almost 6 years, and because I had had a year of pathology, which I was going to be using toward medicine, toward my medical boards, I turned around and used that year instead as one of the 4 required years for pathology, and I took an additional 3 and became a pathologist. The pathology residency was in Williamsport General Hospital, Williamsport, Pennsylvania. 2 years after completion of my pathology residency, I became certified in both anatomic and clinical pathology. That was a big, big milestone in my life. And then I started the odyssey of job hunting. I spent 6 years as the pathologist to the Divine Providence Hospital in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, a hospital neighboring the one where I trained. Subsequent to that, I went to Hibbing, Minnesota, spent exactly 2 years to the day in a very unsatisfactory professional association. And then, by the merest of accidents, found an open position in Moorhead, Minnesota, where we finally settled and where we found the tranquility that we were looking for all our lives. We found a splendid place to live, good people to work with, and wonderful friends such as the Carlins, who is now here helping me record this taping. Between my internship and my first residency, I spent 2 years in the Army. This was a good experience for me. It was also a wonderful, much needed vacation between my rigorous years of education and the hard work of practice. I left the Army as a captain with an insistent invitation to stay on and become a major, which I turned down. There was something uncanny about my always knowing that I wanted to be a doctor. I have no idea where this came from, this conviction. There was no one in my life who influenced me, no relative, no friend. Even as a little kid, I used to be called doctor. Kids used to call me doc or doctor. And they always brought injured animals to me. I can hardly believe that I set the fractured leg of a dog once. I had no idea what I was doing, except to put the leg between 2 pieces of wood and tie them together. And one time I even did surgery on a pigeon whose neck had been torn open by a cat. I debrided the injury, took the feathers off, the margin of it, and with a razor blade shaved the dead skin off, and then just took a needle and thread and sewed it. And the creature actually lived. It was able to drink water without dripping it out of the hole, and it survived. I just can't believe that I did these things. There was also Tony, who had a hot dog cart that was pulled by a pony that somehow scraped its, what I call the front, the knee on the front, one of the front legs. I don't even know what a vet would call this part. A great big chunk of hide had been ripped open, and I cleaned it with peroxide and sewed it, and that healed nicely. I just don't know what that was all about, just relating what happened. I was among the lucky for always being motivated in a given direction. I wasted no time. I knew what I wanted to do, and I did it. As to my family life, this has been patterned very much to the Italian family structure as I was raised to recognize it and enjoy it. Among the Italians, the family is paramount to everything. I give full credit for very much of my accomplishments to my wife. I could not have done anything that I have accomplished without her help and understanding and patience. We spent many, many years without money, heavily in debt. We spent 3 years living with Jane's mom and dad. But we came out of it fine. Hard work, perseverance, and we made it through fine. I can't boast of too many community activities. Medicine has been likened to a very jealous mistress who is demanding. Between my profession and my family, I really had very little left. However, I did have just a brief rundown on what my kids are doing in order of appearance on Earth. Richard is a CPA in Seattle. He's married to Linda at the present time. He's in the process of awaiting the arrival of a little Korean girl he is adopting. Richard arrived 1 year after we were married. We brought him home on our first anniversary. He is now 42 years old. Dana is 40. She went through the torture and torment of a divorce some 6 years ago. She has three lovely daughters, Amy, Jennifer, and Nancy. Currently, she is engaged to Roger Leopold. Roger is an entomologist. We have many, many interesting discussions. This guy is really learned. I find his work fascinating. Dana went through a very, very bad time. She became depressed, but she's a spunky, hard, scrapping little girl, pulled out of it, and she's doing fine. She is now a teacher. And that sector of our family is coming along nicely. Next in line, Stephen. Stephen is 36. He is in the final few months of his pathology residency. Of all my children, Stephen is the one who seems to be following his father in his footsteps. He is the only one who became a doctor, and Much to my joy, he's become a pathologist. He's not a demonstrative young man, but I know he thinks a great deal of me. He just named his second son, gave his second son Camillo as his middle name. He's married to Bonnie, who keeps a wonderful home for him and is a wonderful mother. Next is Nancy, the one-of-a-kind girl on this earth, with her long hair, flashy eyes. She's a clinical psychologist. I think she could become president of this country if she wanted to. Everybody knows and loves Nancy. She's married to Gary Helgeson, a fine young man we very much admire and have developed a strong affection for. He is in computer work. They have recently moved from Fargo to Minneapolis, where he has an excellent job and where Nancy was able to find a new professional position. Nancy started a new job only 5 days ago. Following Nancy is Peter, who is 32. He is an attorney living in Edina, a suburb of Minneapolis, Minnesota. He has joined a large professional group of which he hopes to become a member within a year or so. He has fought some 6 jury cases and won them all. I always tell him he's still the same kid who could catch that football and make touchdowns. He played great football when he was at Chandler. Last, and certainly not least, is our baby, Jane, who is 30 years old. Let me back up here. I missed Peter's wife, Anne, who is in advertising. Anne is an extremely bright, attractive young lady who is taking great strides in her work as advertising counselor. Anne is also a talented artist, and I'm sure her sense of artistry plays a large role in the success she's had with her advertising work. Now back to Jane. Jane is married to John McGuire, an MD in his first year of physiatry, a splendid young man coming from a splendid family. John knows exactly what he's doing. He thinks things out very carefully. He's a real winner. Now, the fun part of this interview is the retirement, of course. I retired about 3 years ago. I feel just about like a kid who was let out of his playpen. I'm just going wild with all the different things that I held in abeyance when I was in practice from sheer lack of time and lack of energy. I'm pretty much involved with the piano. I'm trying to do writing. I'm basically a nonfiction writer, but right now I'm trying to novel. I have a head full of anecdotes, but boy, getting them down into a saleable book is another matter. Highly competitive. A lot of good writers out there, all clamoring to sell their little babies and having a rough time. If I could just get one book out and get my name out, I think I could find the right start. I really, truly wish that I could become a writer. That's my biggest ambition at the moment. I've pretty much given up on becoming a concert pianist. I say this jokingly. Time is still a problem with me. Jane and I are very much involved with taking care of our three granddaughters, Dana's girls. Dana is trying to make headway in life, and that takes time and an absence from the children. So we fill in the gaps a great deal. I regard this as important enough to cut into my own ambitions and aspirations. Here we're dealing with three young lives, and I really seriously believe that the first 2 years of our lives set the pace for the rest of our lives. I, honest to God, do not miss my work at all, because I'm aware of the fact that it hogged all the time and energy that I had. It also was like a ring in my nose with a rope on it that anybody could tug at. I've gotten rid of the ring. I'm a free man. And really having a ball. I'm enjoying retirement so very, very much. Another thing that I like to do is woodworking. I've made some grandfather's clocks. I've made some lamps on the lathe, multicolored hardwoods, and I'm going to be doing more of that. As I look back, I have a feeling that I deserve calling myself successful. I did become a doctor, did become a pathologist, did a reasonably good job of both. Help raise our children, provide security for them. I believe that like everyone else, I am my own worst enemy. I think if a man can conquer the weaknesses and evils within him, he has beaten the worst enemy he'll ever have. I would guess that my biggest problem has been one of finishing growing up. I suppose everybody achieves calendar maturity with little bits and specks of parts of his life that remained immature and that required resolution at a later date, frequently with considerable suffering. I can say honestly that every 5 years of my maturity, I feel almost twice as happy as I did the interval before. I am enjoying getting older. I love getting older. It has brought me a great deal of balance in my perception of life and where I fit into it. I've become a better person, more tolerant, more affectionate, more patient. I'm not as hard on myself and on other people as I used to be. I used to be terribly critical of people. I now accept people as they are, give them a chance to remain as they are without trying to change them. Most of all, I think my greatest improvement has come in the manner in which I treat my wife and the affection that I give her. I think it's part of immaturity to expect more from one spouse than one has a right to expect. These are some of the things that I learned as I got older. I hope to live long enough to correct even more goof-ups and errors that I created as I was getting older. Insofar as my further ambitions, I think I've already stated them. My one remaining big ambition, other than the little ones of writing and playing Chopin better and making better clocks, is to become a better and better human being as I see the need to do so.